This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You got to go higher register to get up there.
If they win this game,
touchdown, Hollywood Higgins!
This weekend against Tennessee,
higher register.
At worst, they could finish 12-4.
And they win it, the Browns are 9-3.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, from NBC Sports, Peter King. Coming up, Yahoo Sports columnist Pete Thamel. Plus, ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show. We are on the air right here on Peacock. I just need to know where to place my coffee canister right there. Just had to put it down. I just got myself a new fresh cup of Joe right in the Rich Eisen Show mug. Right. It's steaming. I don't know if you can see the steam. Got that working right here. Just had a nice chat with Peter King. Steve Kornacki, the national political correspondent of NBC News and MSNBC, did a great job last night of breaking down playoff probabilities like he was breaking down the vote count in Allegheny County. And he's going to be joining us in about 19 minutes' time. Steve Kornacki will be joining us on Damian Woody in hour number three of this show. Peter King joined us in the first hour. We talked a lot about the Browns and what the Jets has fired. Greg Williams is their defensive coordinator after they left an undrafted rookie in his fifth game on an island against Henry Ruggs with just 11 seconds to go, and all they had to do was just play a prevent defense and so on and so forth. Because Trevor Lawrence is up for grabs. At one point, Trevor Lawrence was wearing a Jets uniform, and then he was wearing a Jaguars uniform, and then he went back to a Jets uniform again. But there's still 4 weeks to go. And that's one of the things I want to talk about with with my next guest, who's joining me from Yahoo Sports. He covers both college football and basketball for Yahoo Sports. He's also a co-host of Yahoo Sports College Podcast. Chris Brockman, Pete Thamel, when I asked him if he had a landline, you know, we asked people, do you have a landline?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you call us on a landline? It's clear. His response to me on direct message on Twitter, quote, unfortunately, I can't call you from 1996. This is his response.
Wow.
So I'm assuming joining us from the best line he's got in 2020, Pete Thamel, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Pete?
Rich, I'm good. I just told your producer who called me that a smoke signal I can do, Morse code if you want to communicate by that, is available.
Wow.
You know, I try to be flexible to help here.
Calling me from 1996 is not,
right.
You know what? That's not a bad thing, because that means Michigan's about to go to the national championship game the next year. So let's keep talking, I guess, from 1996. And let us start with my alma mater. What is the latest, best you can tell, with Michigan-Ohio State set for Saturday? Michigan paused all of its football activities until today. Is Michigan back at it, or is Saturday's big game with Ohio State in jeopardy right now, Pete?
Good question.
Thank you.
I think the biggest question in the sport right now, this is one of Michigan's more relevant moments in recent years.
Ouch. It's all good.
The all indications I heard this morning from Michigan is that they're preparing to practice. So you don't want to get too excited about anything, but that is a positive. It's been optimism and positivity. I don't want to say positive because that can be taken the wrong way in 2020 parlance.
Right.
Positivity and optimism for Michigan to practice today. I don't know if they've decreed that yet, but they were preparing to do so when I talked to a couple of people there this morning. So, yeah, Michigan playing is a huge key to, a lot of things in the Big Ten right now.
Well, a huge key to a lot of things in the Big Ten because of the rule that a team needs to play six games in order to compete for the conference championship. And if they haven't played those many games, then one would think the College Football Playoff Committee would not view that positively, with positivity, to use your phrase. What about the concept of Barry Alvarez, the major domo there in Wisconsin, and a de facto, if you will, commissioner of this league, saying that we could just change the rule? What's the status right there, Pete?
Well, I just think it's obvious, right? The Big Ten is not going to hurt the Big Ten for a rule they made up for no particularly good reason
three
months ago, right? There was a lot of money at stake at a time when people need money with a playoff spot. There's also just prestige and nothing would burn the Big Ten more than you know, say two SEC and two ACC schools, or one ACC school and one moonlighting as an ACC school, getting in the playoff. Like, that the Big Ten is not going to self-sabotage over this. So look, like, we talked about this on our Yahoo Sports podcast last night, and we were laughing just because, of course, the Big Ten is going to capitulate to Ohio State and what they need. And I would like to think they would do it for Northwestern or Rutgers or whoever it is, but they are not going to rule in a way that hurts their best team, or what we perceive at this point to be their best team, from getting in the playoff. They need games. They're going to get them games. Games will be played. So I'm not, you know, I think it's almost like a foregone conclusion. I Barry Alvarez for saying the obvious things out loud, right? We're in an era where, especially in college sports, I always joke that it's hard to get people to tell you obvious things. Well, that's obvious. So thank you, Barry, for just saying it out loud.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, with the ultimate of respect, I mean, you know, I know Nebraska's parents were very vocal, and I know Jim Harbaugh was vocal about wanting to play. Isn't playing this season at all in part a capitulation to Ohio State, Pete? In the Big Ten,
yes, and give them credit for steering it. Look, the season's been a rousing success. There was a lot of pessimism around the sport that it could be pulled off. It hasn't been perfect, but it's happening, and it's happening in large part because behind the scenes, you know, people like Gene Smith, people like Ryan Day, and again, Bill Moose, Scott Frost. You can go on and on. They weren't the only ones who wanted to, but there were teams and programs that weren't excited about playing. And I don't think at this point anyone regrets this season having been played.
Pete Family, Yahoo Sports, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Does Coastal Carolina's win over BYU crack the lineup here? I know we were all very, you know, in the media writ large, like, hey, giving kudos to BYU and Coastal Carolina for scheduling each other on the fly. But does it, in the end, does it even matter if they're not going to expand off of four teams in the playoffs, Pete?
Oh, I think it matters. I mean, what a great moment for Coastal Carolina. I've spent a bunch of time down there over the years. Joe Moglia, their old coach, has a great story. He was, he made $100 million in finance and then retired and became a college football coach and has really helped steer that program from FCS to 1AA. So, like, I don't know. Like, part of college football, like, what I don't want it to become is that you're irrelevant if you're not one of the four or one of the eight or whatever it ends up becoming in the next few years, right? Like, that was just a great moment on a college campus and, you know, the Mormons versus Mullets t-shirts. Like, that's what college football is and is about, you know? So I thought it was awesome. Loved the way that, you know, really with inferior talent, Coastal Carolina controlled the game through just running the ball in 14 and 17 play drives and, you know, really did a great job limiting Zach Wilson's opportunities. And, BYU hurt itself with some big plays, and I think they didn't probably value every possession like a precious gem like you have to do against schools that control the ball and control the clock. And Coastal came out, and what a night for the Mullets.
Well, I mean, I don't want my question to be, and you did appropriately respond to it, and I think I left it out there so it can be inferred that it doesn't matter for a program like Coastal Carolina to have a moment like that. Moments are wonderful, but the ultimate moment would be to have Coastal Carolina go up against Alabama and see how it flies, or Clemson, or Notre Dame and see how it flies. Like, and that's what I meant to say is that we should, just like Major League Baseball, Pete, decided to expand their playoffs in COVID, just like the NHL and the NBA coming up with a different manner in which to gain the playoffs in their bubbles, they come up with a different one. The NFL has got a plan in case it's necessary to change their playoffs. The fact that college football is right here saying, yeah, we're just going to do the same thing, it to me is insane. Like, it's a different season. There are different ways in which somebody can win. I'd love to see Cincinnati do their thing. I'd love to see Coastal Carolina do their thing if they deserve it. And instead, they're just going to be on some bowl game that maybe I'll watch. I'll be honest. You know, that's what I'm saying, yeah. I guess. What do you say?
No, and that's a great point. Hey, college athletics, like, when you really drill down on it, like, is just some of the least nimble. Well, it starts with what? Like, if the NFL wants to make a change, well, it starts with what? Roger Goodell. Owners call Roger Goodell. Who do you call in college sports? You call Gene Smith, you call Barry Alvarez, there's nobody in charge. So it's hard for six separate entities with competing interests to all try and do something like this. And, you know, it's been funny because you talk to people about, like, changing the playoff. When's the earliest it could happen? Like, it's all the lame arguments are the same lame arguments they had against the playoff that I wrote about for, you know, a decade and a half before they finally changed to a playoff. Like, it's just, it's the same static institutional nonsense. And there's just so much bureaucracy and crap, quite frankly, in college athletics that prevents easy, obvious decisions from being made.
Couple more for you here, Pete. Pete Famel, Yahoo Sports.
I got one for you too, Rich.
All right. Go, yeah. Is it in the question I'm about to ask you about the rumor, the hot rumor that was going spreading like crazy amongst my friends and fellow alums at Michigan that Jim Harbaugh is on the verge of getting a contract extension with Michigan? Is that the question you're going to ask me, Pete?
It wasn't, but I'll answer that to the best I can, and then yes. I'll follow my answer with a question. That's been buzzing. No one's been able to kind of confirm that, but that wouldn't be a surprise. And all along, I really didn't think Michigan wanted to part ways with Jim Harbaugh. If they're going to do that, they'd probably be wise to do it before they play Ohio State on Saturday, as the outcome looks fairly predictable, even with obviously the Buckeyes playing with a little bit of an inferior roster, especially on the offensive line. I have never felt in this a strong institutional desire for Michigan to this isn't Auburn, right? Like, there's a respect for what Harbaugh's done. If you look at the job he's done there holistically,
yes.
He's won 69% of his games.
Yes.
He's revived revenues from, you know, two pretty down eras back to back with Brady and Rich.
Kids graduate. They're not in trouble a lot at all. No, there's I understand, sure. I'm sure the school president absolutely adores that in Jim Harbaugh. No question about that.
Yeah. And I think the school president, because it's a university that has varied other interests, is almost
Yep.
There's maybe a little sense of ambivalence towards the football team having a down year because
Pete,
it's a pandemic and the
faculty
is revolting. And
I think you're spot on.
And that's a good thing. That's a compliment to them. That's not that's not knocking them like they don't care enough. It's like, yeah, you're trying to run a multi-billion-dollar institution in a pandemic. So there's other, so there's potentially other priorities. What I want to ask you is this from your chair, Rich, you're obviously far more plugged into the NFL. Do you think there's a market for Jim Harbaugh right now in the NFL?
I think the Jets, I know Woody Johnson has been very enamored with Jim and by Jim, and he's coming back officially in a couple of weeks from his ambassadorship overseas. That's the total wild card. I don't know if the Bears would be. I don't know what the Bears are going to do. I think the Lions are already focusing on the 49ers defensive coordinator and Robert Saleh that you see. He's from Dearborn. I don't know how much of a market there would be for Harbaugh and the pros right now. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's
would be
that's
my sussing it out right now.
Yeah. That's my sense too from calling around. I did a little bit earlier this season, but there are, there's going to be 7-8 NFL jobs probably by the end of this whole thing. So it's interesting. Would he be better off taking a year off?
I don't think so. He loves to coach, Pete. You know that.
No.
You know, he's a total. And that's the thing that was the most outrageous aspect about the whole waving the white flag, using COVID as a shield. Michigan is installed as a 30-point underdog or something insane like that for this week, and that let's just use COVID to avoid the inevitable destruction. I mean, that is so antithetical to who this guy is. You say what you will about him saying don't eat chicken because he's a nervous bird or whatever, all that stuff. To say that he wants to duck competition is insane. Insane, Pete.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Jim Harbaugh, I mean, I covered him at Stanford. He was a blast back then. It was pre-social media, but the stuff he would do and say and the way he not only needled Pete Carroll back when USC was a roaring dynasty, but then he went and beat him as a 42-point underdog. No, his competitive chops can't be questioned. I just question the team right now. I just don't think it's very talented. I don't see a clear path out of this for him there because of just the distinct talent. Like, Maryland has more talent than Michigan right now.
You know, I feel like I should be one of those CNN or Fox News or MSNBC anchors to say we should just leave it there. We have to leave it there. We're up against it. But I do have a couple more questions, real quick hitters. Was there any there with Urban Meyer in Texas, Pete?
I think it was sort of an open secret that was a courtship, but it's not going to happen.
Okay. And Trevor Lawrence sitting there knowing that there are two teams that can have him right now, unless there's somebody that comes out of nowhere and gives the old Mike Ditka King's ransom to try and come draft him. He is done at Clemson, right? He is not going to sit there and say the Jets are such a dumpster fire, I don't want to go. What are you hearing about that?
Well, it's a good question. Trevor, I have a lot of respect for Trevor Lawrence and what he's done there, how he's evolved. It's really hard. So when they throttled Alabama in the title game his freshman year, from that moment on, he was the number one pick in this upcoming draft. And it's really hard when your expectation is generationally great to live up to it and even succeed it. And he's done it all while, you know, really developing into a really engaging young man who's charitable. He was more thoughtful about Black Lives Matter than his coach was. I mean, he's really been impressive in every way. And it's a long way, and you ask for quick hitters, to say, like, I don't know. I think he'll go to the NFL draft because that's probably the smart fiscal thing to do. He doesn't seem to have the personality. He's likely not going to go with like a big high powered agency that could help orchestrate something like that. Like, I think he'll go and try to give it his best shot. That's his personality. You never know. Things can change, but that's the way I see Trevor Lawrence playing out right now.
Pete, so, we've got time between
God bless him in New Jersey.
We've got a lot of time between then and now, and appreciate the time. Thanks greatly, and we'll chat over the next couple weeks as things begin to heat up. Thank you.
Awesome, Rich. Appreciate it, bud.
You got it. That's Pete Dammel right there.
Rich, Michigan's only a 29.5-point underdog. So.
Oh, wow.
Don't sell yourself.
I mean, I heard that. A buddy of mine, who I believe was in my apartment when Bell's Pizza arrived with the potato chips. The story that I told last week. I believe he was the only other human being who can confirm that story, other than the delivery driver and the owner of the now defunct pizza place. He's like, we're 30-point underdogs. It's so embarrassing.
Can we get him on the phone to talk about this?
We could. I don't know if we will.
With all due respect, that sounds low.
I don't even want to talk. It's so. I just hope all the kids who have gotten COVID that it's not a total outbreak there. If they don't play the game, it is because of that.
Right.
I cannot stress that enough. Okay? I cannot stress that enough. But it is a fact that the school president there is not sitting there thinking, man, we're just getting our brains beaten in by Ohio State every year. Every now and then we come up with a win that we're all excited about. Michigan State can puff its chest out against us half the time as opposed to much less than that. We just lost to Indiana. He's sitting there thinking, okay, this year I didn't want to play anyway. I got my arm twisted. I didn't want to play anyway. I'm just going to throw this one out. And we got another year of contract with the coach, and he's our guy. He's Michigan through and through, and the kids graduate. I can only imagine what the provost must tell Jim every now and then about this kid's grades, and they can't come in and play for him. Sure, he's used to that from Stanford. So
true.
I would not be surprised if Michigan extended him. Maybe not like 5 years, but just to avoid him being a lame duck coach next year. It would be more surprising to me if they bounced him, period, with 1 year left. That would stun me. Let's take a break. Steve Kornacki will be joining us next. Yes, sirree. What a great job he did on Sunday Night Football, pre, half, and post. We'll chat with Steve Kornacki and you at 844-204-RICH. If you're on hold, we're going to take your calls. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
This is a sting.
That's right, a sting.
Music sting. I like talking to music stings. Because I'm professional. Right here on Peacock. That's why I'm here on NBC Sports on Peacock. They only have professionals. All right, is our radio audience almost back, Mike?
Almost back.
All right, once the radio audience returns,
they are back.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show simulcast. NBC Sports on Peacock, Sirius XM Channel 211, our terrestrial radio network headlined by the mightier 1090 here in Southern California. I watched this man on election nights.
Multiple.
Yes.
Plural. Truly enjoy his work, and it was a delight yesterday to see him on Football Night in America, Sunday Night Football, especially at halftime, breaking down the playoff probabilities like it was a vote count in Maricopa County. He is none other than NBC News and MSNBC national political correspondent, as he's known on his Twitter feed, Steve Kornacki. How are you, Steve?
Rich, I'm doing well. How you doing?
What a pleasure to talk to you. What a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Was this like a dream? I imagine for somebody who does what you do for a living to be on a halftime and be part of Sunday Night Football has got to be a feather in your career cap, Steve.
Honestly, yeah, no, and thanks for having me on here.
Of course.
And thanks for those nice words. This was a thrill. They, you know, the folks at NBC Sports had, you know, got in touch with me a couple weeks ago, you know, and I was just kind of waiting for them to think wiser of it and call the whole thing off. So I was just thrilled that it actually happened, that I got the chance. You know, I've been a football fan, NFL fan, really my whole life, and you know, just the I think the idea of kind of a road to the playoffs, you know, playing out the scenarios, the probabilities, the what if this team wins but this team loses. I really, as we were putting it together, it occurred to me it seemed to kind of flow very naturally.
Yes.
In a way I wasn't necessarily expecting from, you know, what I was doing with the election and just road to 270 and probabilities. And if this candidate wins this state but loses that state, there really did seem to be kind of an overlap there. So just I had a blast doing it and really feel lucky I got the chance.
Well, did anybody contest the results, Steve? Did you get anybody demanding a recount last night?
I got to say, I do think some of the there were some Vikings fans maybe who didn't like the probability. You know, we have our partner, Pro Football Focus,
yes,
that puts the probabilities together. I think despite Minnesota, you know, moving into that final playoff spot in the NFC yesterday ahead of Arizona, the PFF model still favors Arizona in terms of making the playoffs. So I think there might have been some folks in Minnesota who didn't like that number.
So they were looking for more of a batch in Hennepin County? Is that the phrase? Would that be?
There you go. You're
huh?
Yeah, Hennepin County, or maybe up in the Iron Range. I don't know.
See, I'm feeling my oats, too, because, again, I feel like I could tell you all the counties where everybody's all these stadiums are in right now. And it just in terms of your sports fandom, I have been told, are you from – you're from Mass, right? You're from Massachusetts, correct?
That's right. Yep. Grew up just about 30 miles outside Boston.
So you, Steve Kornacki, are a New England Patriots fan. Is that a fact?
Yeah, it's. I've learned that's a very polarizing thing to tell people, and I just try to remind folks there was a time the Patriots weren't a dynasty, and they struggled to get 20,000 fans in the stadium. But I was a fan back then, so I feel I've earned some of the fun we've had the last two decades.
So you were freezing your butt off on the metal benches of Foxborough is basically what you're saying, Steve. Right.
Yeah. I was 1988. Doug Flutie was the quarterback for a season. And it was kind of a magical time to be a Patriots fan. But it was nothing like it is right now.
I mean, the Brady years had to have been quite something for a Patriot fan to take all in. Have you been to any of those Super Bowls, Steve? Have you gone to any of those?
No, I've never been to the Super Bowl. No,
oh,
just,
my,
you know,
word.
Regular season games and watching the Super Bowls. But I mean, yeah, it truly, truly, I think as everybody knows, for the Pats, it just came out of nowhere. I mean, it was you went from Drew Bledsoe being the quarterback of a 5-11 team to this guy Brady coming in one day, and then you know, two decades later, it just the winning continued, and it was it just came totally out of the blue. And And it is like, it's one of those things where I have to remind people. And I think I'm getting to a certain age here where there's folks who've, you know, younger folks who've come up as NFL fans, not knowing anything but the Patriots being a dynasty. But, you know, there was a long period there, as people my age and older know, when that just wasn't the case.
Steve Kornacki, NBC News political correspondent here on the Rich Eisen Show. So are you going to do this again? It's not a one-off,
I think,
right?
So, yeah. I mean, great feedback last night, and I think we're talking about, you know, continuing it next week, and, you know, I think we'll you know, kind of take a look and review the game film, see where we can improve, see what we can tweak. But I think we got some good feedback.
I like that. So what would we call you? We can't call you an NBC News political correspondent when you're doing this endeavor. Can we come up with what you'd like? What would your term for it be? What would you like to be called?
Boy, that's a good question.
Thank you, Steve. What do you got?
You know, let me work it. Maybe that's one of the things we're going to have to sit down and come up with here in the next couple of days.
You could see Steve Kornacki, NBC News chief. It has to be chief, playoff analytics. Correspondent, analyst, playoff analyst.
Okay, analytics.
Chief.
I like that you're saying chief and not senior, because I feel senior is the one they give you when you're kind of retirement age.
Sure,
so I'll take chief over senior.
Yeah, senior. Okay, chief. Playoff.
Lord of the board.
Right, analyst. Right.
I think you were onto something there with sort of analytics correspondent.
Okay.
You know, how about analytics analyst?
I like it. That's, you know, for some people who talk fast, that could be dicey, but we'll figure that out.
Right.
A few more minutes left here with Steve Kornacki here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. You know, sports is all about rivalries, right, Steve? You know, it's about somebody raising their game, and their game is always compared to somebody else's game. Do you and John King have a rivalry, Steve? Is there a rivalry there?
It's funny. I don't think we've ever actually met. You know, it's probably one of those things where we've been in the same room at some kind of a function or something, or an event.
Yes.
But I don't think we've ever met. He's from Massachusetts too. He's from Dorchester. I will go out on a limb and say he's probably a Pats fan too. So I'd say we're kind of on the same team there.
Okay. But when it comes to big board material, I mean, is there, you know, would there be some sort of flex here? Like, you know,
I don't want to get drawn into anything. I truly respect what he does.
Of course.
I really do. And he's been doing it, you know, for a while now. And I don't get a chance, and I think this is probably true for him too.
Yes.
The way these election nights go, I never get a chance to see what anybody else is doing. You know, I don't get to
of course
see what CNN's
not.
Doing. I don't get to see what Fox is doing. I'm sure that's true for him. But before, you know, I've been doing elections since 2014. Before I started doing elections in 2014, I certainly saw King then, and I truly, truly have nothing but respect for him.
Neither do, so do I, Steve. And again, it's as somebody who does live television for a living, it is truly remarkable what you did on election night and have been doing on election night. And I did, you know, on occasion flip around. I did see what John did. I will tell you this, Steve. I don't know if John King could do his math like you can do on live television. I think you got him on just doing subtraction, certainly five-figure subtractions in your head. You did that, if I'm not mistaken, this past election.
You know, it's funny. I computational math, adding and subtracting.
Yes.
For some reason, I've always been really good at it, but my math skills do not go any farther than that. I was like the
Come
world's
on.
Worst calculus student growing
Steve.
Up, trigonometry. I was terrible at it, but I could do computational math, so it finally came in handy.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I think you subtracted five figures from five figures, and you carried ones and all that stuff in your head, and you nailed it down before the computer actually updated it on your board. I watched that on live television, and I rewound it, Steve, and showed it to my children to say, this is why, seriously, Steve, they're 12, 9, and 7. I'm like, this is why math is important right here. I showed that to them.
I tell you, it's something I developed kind of at a young age, and it just stayed with me. And there you go. Got to use it on national TV.
Okay. Last couple of minutes, Steve. I'm going to ask you the question you get asked all the time. It's a different audience here. Add up all the pants that you have, the khaki pants that you have. The total would be what? What's the total number of pants that you have, Steve? I don't ask this of normal people as a normal question.
Single digits.
Okay. Certainly single digits. Okay.
I'm going to say five. I think five is probably the answer.
All the same color? What do you got? Is it all the same
I
color?
I got four that are this, like, the color I had last night, I got four that are like that.
Okay.
And I got one that's a slightly lighter shade.
Okay. How do you choose? How do you choose what's worthy of NBC Sports and MSNBC? Or what's the choice process? Can you walk
Usually
me through that?
Usually whatever is clean. But there seemed to be a reaction to the ones I wore last night seemed to get a reaction election week. I have no idea why, but they seem to. So I figured kind of last night I was talking to the NBC guys, and
yep.
I was like, you know, is there a wardrobe thing here? You know, do you want me to wear anything in particular? And they just said, no, just do what
yes.
you did for the election. So I was like, okay, well, that takes the pressure off. I've got you covered there.
I mean, that would be like to use the analogy that you will definitely get being a Patriot fan. It's kind of like seeing when Belichick shows up to a press conference in a full suit and tie. It's jarring. Like, wait a minute.
Right.
Does he actually wear a suit, like, ever? And then, so if you showed up in a suit, it would just be weird. I'll be honest with you.
See, I like that. If this means I've gotten myself off the hook for the rest of my life from really having to get dressed up, I'll take that.
Okay. I have two last ones for you, Steve, and I appreciate you calling in. I'm sure you've been pulled in many different directions here. Two last ones for you here. Did you think ever, well, I guess let's put it this way. If I came up to you and say September, and say by the end of the year, you will be on NBC Sports Halftime breaking down the playoff probabilities on Sunday Night Football as a halftime correspondent, or you would be named by People Magazine as one of the sexiest men alive. Which one would you say is even crazy? Which one's the craziest?
No, the second one is the craziest one. And you want to talk about where there might be vote fraud and where there might be tabulation errors. I think whoever added that up for that People Magazine thing there, I don't know how I got on that list. I tell people they got the alive part right.
Are you saying that the Dominion voting system was used by People Magazine? Is that what you're saying,
you,
Steve?
That might be the place to look, the People Magazine voting, because it baffles me and it baffles most people who know me how that would have happened.
All right, so then let me top it all. Last one for you here. This would be... Look, a career choice, but it would also be something greatly appreciated by me. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, we don't understand why in the playoff formats that you see of the teams on the screen that are division leaders are in one column, as you know, and then the wild card leaders are in another column, and then the teams on the outside looking in are in a third column. I don't know who came up with the phrase that's always used by everybody as in the hunt. I don't understand why that every single network uses that except for this show. We use the phrase sniffing it. Okay. It being the playoffs, they're sniffing it. If you do this again on Sunday Night Football, the phrase sniffing it instead of in the hunt or on the outside looking in, that would mean the world to me. And I guess that means I'm a shell of a man, but would you consider it, Steve, to do that?
Let me see what I can do. Let me see if I can get that into my muscle memory for next week.
Okay.
Or sometime in the next couple weeks.
That's
I like doing favors, Rich.
Okay, Steve, that's not a no. Right, Chris, we didn't hear a no. We didn't say
not a no.
That's not a no.
Not a no.
We'll see. Okay, so I will be on the edge of my seat as you break down these big boards like they are on election night. To hear the words sniffing it for teams that are on the outside looking in. Like the Arizona Cardinals right now, they're sniffing it. At this hour, they're sniffing it. That's all I need to hear. That's it.
I'm going to – you know what? It's one of those things, too. I want to run it by a few people to make sure there's
don't
not
know.
A second meeting
no.
there. That's going to get
no.
me in trouble.
I'm in my 25th year of broadcasting of forgiveness rather than permission, and I'm telling you. You're in good shape, Steve. You're in good shape. So just give it a whirl. It's basically what I'm saying.
All right. I'll think about that one.
Thanks for the call, Steve. It was a delight to see you in this role last night and a home run, to use the phrase from a different sport. Just great. So thanks for the call.
Thanks so much, Rich. Appreciate it.
You got it. Steve Kornacki right here. The NBC Sports Chief Playoff
Analytics
Analyst.
Yes.
NBC Sports Chief Playoffs Analytics Analyst.
CPAA.
There you go.
Steve.
That was awesome.
That was so much fun
that
last
was
night.
Great.
And I learned it. And the producing. Look, you know, at NBC Sports, Rob Hyland's crew doing it. They had the board set up where he also could change the board. He could move it around and circle it and do his thing.
it's you what know, you want.
Do his thing, addressing the camera, and it was great. He stuck the landing. Start of today and at this hour, Arizona, 52% chance by Pro Football Focus to make the playoffs. They, San Francisco, and Chicago currently sniffing it. If I hear Steve Kornacki say that,
baby,
rip the knob off. We'll do all we can do. That would be like a Costanza moment.
I mean, what more do we have to accomplish?
Sniffing it. At least I made him laugh with sniffing it. That's it. Even if he doesn't say it. But you can't ask permission. You just can't. What's he going to do? Ask. By the way, Brian Williams would say go for it. Oh, I know that.
For sure.
Brian Williams would say go for it.
I mean, it's live TV. What are they going to do?
Yeah, what are they going to do?
It's live.
It just comes out.
Let's see. What was that all about? I was going to say, is Rich Eisen said to do it, and then I'll say, please forgive me.
Thank you, sir.
Roll.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a break. We'll come back. 844-204-RICH. We found out just how good the Kansas City Chiefs really are last night. Everybody's talking about it was proof last night of how vulnerable they are. No, no, no. I'm going to take the opposite point of view. That's next. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Back here on Peacock, Pro Football Talk every single day kicks us off, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, and then DP has at it with his stellar 3 hours with the Danettes before handing it off to us. And then we hand it off to Michael Holly and Michael Smith, brother from another, for 2 hours before the Florio machine returns with PFTPM to create the Florio Flauta known as NBC Sports on Peacock.
Flauta.
Florio Flauta.
The Florio Flauta, everybody. So much going on in the NFL. I mean, we've hardly even scratched the surface.
Oh, I was thinking about flautas.
Oh, is that what you were doing?
They're so good.
Very good. Are you warm in that jacket?
You know, it is. I did buy this a few years ago when we went to Iceland, so it is kind of wintry.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
This is all I had that was tan.
It looks good, though, Chris. It's the best you can do on the fly.
It's the best I could do.
And you said you would dress as Cam. You know, you said at the beginning of the season, you dress after every win, you dress as Cam. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. And we say hello again to our radio audience, certainly to Chargers fans listening to us all throughout Southern California on the Mightier 1090. Chris Brockman's, pledge to dress as Cam Newton after every Patriot win all season long. You said that at the very beginning of the season. I think, if I'm not mistaken, you thought he would dress the same way every time, so you'd have to dress at the same time.
Right.
Or I would have no problem if you wore the same Cam outfit, but you decided to go with what he's wearing every single time.
Right. I try to match as close as I can
up
to game day.
By the way, in terms of all of your endeavors in the history of this show, this may be the most taxing financially. This also may have to be some of maybe your biggest challenge.
Yeah.
Because there's no question, if you're going to go toe to toe with Cam,
oh my gosh,
in the haberdashery department, his roster, if you will, is deeper than yours.
Correct.
So he's probably got, as you know, Deion Sanders, having worked with him all those many, many years, I could literally spend 3 hours telling just Deion stories, and he has sat in this chair as well as a guest host, is that Deion never wore a suit in back-to-back weeks, ever. Ever. He said once he wears a suit, he takes it out of rotation. And then I went and he brought all of the Thursday night crew to his house in Texas, and we saw his closet, which went on so far, so long, so deep, filled with suits. The most remarkable part about it wasn't how long it was, like a 50-foot long hallway,
jeez,
is that it made a left at the end. Okay? And that it had an upstairs where the shoes were and a plexiglass floor there, thus a plexiglass ceiling to the first floor, so he could hold the shoes over the suit to see if it matched.
That was the best.
So he could see through and see all of that.
Wow.
is that Deion said he never wore a suit in back-to-back weeks. He takes that out of the rotation for years. And one time reached into his pocket and pulled out what was the dry cleaning receipt. And it was stamped with a date that was, in fact, 4 or 5 years before the day he took it out of his pocket to show it to me.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
You're in the same deep end of the pool.
Yeah.
Because Cam not only has a deep rotation in the closet that you try to match every week, but he's winning a lot more than you thought he was going to as well.
A little bit.
They're 6-6.
Like I said, they were not favored in this game at kickoff.
And then this
week,
I
wasn't really expecting to have to throw something together this morning.
This is the toughest week, Chris, because they turn right around and play Thursday. This is the first time you're going to have to maybe dress this camp twice in the same week.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I mean, that's what I'm here for, is to look down the road and look over across the steering wheel.
A Friday camp situation.
You're taking on the Rams. I don't know about one.
No.
Chargers not walking through that door on Thursday night.
I get it. Nobody thought they were beating the Ravens.
Number 99. Yeah. I mean, who is number 20 cover? I mean, does he just sit back there and just watch TV?
He might take take the week off.
Is he going to remove Jacoby Myers from the game? I mean, N'Keal Harry scored a touchdown.
Let's not gloss over the fact that you just got done describing a two-story closet.
That happened.
Okay.
We went on the tour before he took us to his bowling alley that's next to the game room that you walk through to the full-court basketball court that was there.
And then we heard it was baseball money.
I know that.
Yes,
but
that was what Marshall Faulk muttered as we walked through the closet. So what did you say under your breath? He goes, this is baseball money.
I don't think that's right. I think that's Jerry Jones money.
No, that's probably baseball money. This is Mark Schott money, sir.
I don't think he made as much
He's
as
still
you guys
dead
think.
Money on the Cincinnati Reds ledger, I'm sure. He's like the Bobby Bowe of the Reds.
That's funny.
I'm sure he's through all that. But
the Bobby Bowe.
I'm like that kind of with my Jordans. Like, I try not to wear the same pair of Jordans within, like...
How many do you have?
I do them the same way.
I don't have a lot. I probably have about 50 in rotation.
But that's not a lot?
50.
That's not a lot?
I mean, not compared... Like, some of these sneakerheads are really...
I've got three. I also have three children, okay? But, yeah. So I guess if I didn't have kids or a wife, if I lived by myself...
I've got nothing, Rich, all right?
All I got are these sneakers, man.
Rich, they can take their sneakers, I'll take the boat.
Not named, right?
Still not named.
Oh, Mike, come on.
What a D-bag comment. You can have your sneakers.
Two pump champ.
You can have your sneakers.
I blocked that jackal.
I'll take my boat.
You got blocked.
Let's take Ben in Mississippi, your phone call right here. How you doing, Ben?
Richie Rich, my man, I got a lot to cover, so let's get right into it.
Hop in.
So, because of your decision to go hire a register on Friday, I had prepared the most disrespectful, with all due respect, in the history of the Rich Eisen Show.
Yes, sir.
But I will not get to use it because the New York Football Giants decided to go and win a football game in Seattle with Colt McCoy as the starting quarterback.
That happened.
So I want to take you back a couple of months ago. Week two, I called into the show. Saquon's out for the year.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it's all over. Season of despair. You said, hold your horse. Hold your horse. Joe Judge is your man.
Yep.
So it's like one of my favorite drops on your show. Yeah, man. I am a believer in Joseph Judge. I still want Dave Gettleman gone, but that's an entirely another story. But here's what I really called you for. Considering that there may be a massacre in Columbus, Ohio, on Saturday, we'll find out to be determined. If I'm not a head coach, so I can have a crystal ball.
Okay. Look at you, Ben. He's on fire.
Yes. I could tell you over the next 10 seasons, over the next 10 years between Michigan and Ohio State, an offer you shouldn't refuse, sir. If I told you, I give you the choice, 60 or 70%, you can have your pick. If I could say to you over the next 10 years, Michigan would win 60 to 70% of their games against Ohio State. But you lose out, which you still might. You still might lose out on the number one overall pick. We'll see. If you could win 60 to 70% of your games against Ohio State, would you take it if that means losing out on Trevor Lawrence?
I will let your, I will, here, here's my answer.
Yeah, man.
How about that?
I like it.
Thanks for the call, Ben.
I like it.
Thank you, Ben. Great call.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, because there's other quarterbacks. In this. I know Trevor's as great as they come. They could trade a package. There's so many different ways that the Jets could still wind up on top. Take 67%. I mean, it used to be that way. Tell you that.
All right.
A couple things here. Let's talk about Joe Judge, shall we?
We shall.
Losing Saquon. They looked terrible week one, right? Pandemic, Jason Garrett, new offense. Saquon, just, they got smoked on opening night by the Steelers. And then they lose in Chicago in a game that they almost pulled out where they lose Saquon for the year. Wayne Gallman goes into tonight's Monday night double dip as the running back with the most rushing yards in week 13. Buck 35 against the Seattle Seahawks. Colt McCoy goes up there. In the same way where the Jets couldn't use Leonard Williams, Giants sure are.
Yep.
He was everywhere. Remember that top five out of USC, didn't really do very much for the Jets. Let's ship him. Let's ship him out middle of the season. At least we'll get a three for him now as opposed to a three for him when he leaves via free agency. We'll get that three in a bank. Now the Giants are using him. How does Jabril Peppers look right there? How's he looking? Like Jamal Adams. Blitz in. You don't know where he's coming from. How about the Giants? How about Colt McCoy winning a game in Seattle? And doesn't look pretty. I, however, went online and went in every different spot that you can name of to look at the standings just to make sure I'm accurate. There were no photographs. There were no photographs. 5-7 doesn't look pretty. But I'll tell you what. You want to play this team?
First place.
You want to play this team? Does Seattle want to go back to New York? I'm sure they'll be like, yeah, I'll go there. You know, I'm a competitor. I want to go there. Both New York back pages, radio audience, we have up on the screen. The Daily News, the unreal McCoy. There's Colt McCoy.
That's great.
Right? And then the Daily News had that, and the New York Post is for real because the Giants have won four in a row. The top banners are all about the Jets. Was the head, the banner for the Daily News talking about the Jets escaping victory. Jets escape crushing victory in final seconds. Says,
I love it. It's,
says the Daily News, not mincing any words. And then you want to talk about not mincing any words. New York Post, commitment to incompetence was the phrase because it was against the Raiders. Well done.
New York papers.
Well done, both of the tabloids, Daily News and New York Post. So, hey, Giants fans, you got the real deal in Joe Judge. And I'll say this, Dave Gettleman, guy who's been getting a lot of grief.
A lot of grief. For the binder and the laptop and the empty room.
And the empty room. And what's he doing? And who is he drafting? And what are they doing?
We talking playoffs?
That's the amazing thing, too, is that was Randy in – you play the full drop, Mike, because he called up before the beginning of the season, and we made so much fun of him.
Oh, my God.
Talking playoffs or what?
And so I've been tweeting with this dude. He's going to call in this week.
Is he really?
You found him?
Yeah. Oh, you found him?
Yeah, found him. He's going to call in this week.
We got to get him because we made so much fun of him. Like, yeah, we talk playoffs or what, huh? No, or what? How about the other than the or what? How about the
or
other
what?
One? Yeah. We talking playoffs. And
what?
Look at Dave Gettleman's draft. This is the general manager with one thing plugged in the wall. I mean.
And a picture not of New York City. No, no, of Charlotte.
I hope that's a power strip plugged into the wall because so many general manager setups that we saw for the draft at home was like five screens, seven televisions, 19 phones, three landlines and 16 cell phones, whatever. This guy's got one laptop, one mouse, one binder, one plug in the wall. And we're like, what's going on?
Dangerous spot to put the power strip to. It could come out.
Could you imagine?
Back with the chair
yeah,
right
you could
there.
Trip.
Ooh, yeah. You could trip over.
All sorts of problems.
I almost got to do the Giants weekend in New York. And the NFL on Fox.
They found the right guy in Joe Judge.
Coach of the year, Joe Judge?
I don't know. Stefanski at 9-3 has got that thing. He's right. You're the coach of the Browns, 9-3, and you're punking people. Let's see how they finish up. But a 5-7 coach normally doesn't get a lot of, like, he could be coach of the year. They got the right guy. Now then, another thing I want to talk about here. I'm seeing a lot about how the Chiefs are a vulnerable team because they're not blowing people out. They were blowing the Bucs out, and then the Bucs almost came back and tied that thing. And we saw last night that didn't look pretty again with another division opponent at home.
Red zone problem.
Right. Saw that. You saw how Vegas, that thing came down to the wire, right? You saw how Carolina had a chance to beat them. So suddenly everyone's like, hey, don't sleep on the Chiefs being vulnerable. And Andy Reid made no friends in the fantasy football world last night by having Clyde Edwards-Helaire active and stand around. Andy Reid does not care about your fantasy football team. Helaire had the flu all week, and they activated him just in case. Didn't play a lick. So their best running back didn't play last night. I'll just give you another one. How about this? You can't blow everyone out. Every single America's Game documentary that NFL Films puts together for NFL Network about the champions that airs the September before the season begins in that team's title defense season, every single one of those wasn't peaches and cream. There's always adversity, including the Patriots year where they went 16-0. There's always moments where it does not look pretty. Last year, the Chiefs, when they won it all, had a portion of the season where it did not look pretty, and that includes Patrick Mahomes' kneecap being on the right side of his knee, and also the fact that they had to come back in all the playoff games that they won and winning it all. So I'll just chalk that up to this being that moment for the Chiefs, in which, by the way, they're winning every game. And I'll just double down and say the Chiefs are just as fine as you thought they would be. They are who we think they are. And I'll just go you one better. This is how good they are. They beat the Broncos when the Broncos brought their A game. They beat the Broncos last night by having their guy score a touchdown without him realizing he scored a touchdown.
That was amazing.
Tyreek Hill made a touchdown grab that the referee said no good, and he didn't pop up and say, we need to challenge this thing, because he didn't even realize he caught it himself. And Travis Kelce becomes the first tight end ever to have 5 straight 1,000-yard seasons. He's amazing, too.
Hall of Fame.
I am not worried about the Kansas City Chiefs. How about that? You shouldn't be either. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Your phone calls and overreaction Monday when we come back. Damian Woody will join us in hour number 3 as well from the worldwide leader in sports here on this busy Monday. I saw that's the new narrative. The Chiefs struggled last night. The week before last night, they blew out Tampa and then had to hold on for dear life. And then they went back and forth with the Raiders, and Carolina almost beat them. I mean, the last time they were sitting in a rocking chair is when Mahomes put through 5 touchdowns on the Jets. That was in week 8. All right. So
what are the Chiefs assistant coaches doing in the booth?
What do you mean?
They didn't look at that Tyreek play and be like, hey, let's just wait for the replay. Because they punted with 25 seconds left on the play clock.
They punted real fast.
Nobody's got a hand. Just hold on a second. Let's just take a look at that.
Because the way I saw it, Tyreek Hill went down, and it was incomplete. And I thought, well, where's the ball then? Because it didn't bounce up.
Exactly.
It didn't appear. So where's the ball then?
Right.
And I thought, okay, they're going to show the replay, and there it goes off the side. And NBC Sunday Night Football, Fred Gaudelli and Esikoff and that crew always have the replay real fast. And they had it, and they showed it. And just as Al Michaels is going, hold on a second, they cut back and the ball's in the air punting.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid said after the game, I've never had a receiver who caught the ball not say, hey, I caught it. He's never had a receiver who didn't realize he caught it. That's how good the Chiefs are, though. They still won. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.